Totally. The cycling community is super unique and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all going to bed early because we got to race the next day, right?
Yeah. Although you will find people that are like mysteries. They barely sleep.
Yeah.
They probably get super good grades and they drink a whole bunch and they eat like this crazy food and they still smash it. So power to them. I'm not one of them, but yeah, it's always cool to see where everybody's, what everybody's doing, what everybody's, where they're coming from.
The N Plus One, global yet very local cycling podcast, brought to you by Lowland Cycling.
Welcome to Lowland Cycling. This week we have an interview with Allison Rugel. This is Jeff Smith, and with me is
Jerry De Bruin.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm good. I think we had a super interesting podcast with Allison, young and upcoming mountain bike pro, and I think we had a couple of great topics.
Yeah, she has a very interesting background, starting off in soccer and then transitioning to cycling, coming from a family that's very competitive and parents that are both cyclists. She even has a good story about winning her first race and how she got hooked onto cycling.
Yeah, the one interesting part for me also, because it was at a later age, but then really getting hooked and going to college and collegiate cycling, being part of a club and then transitioning later on to SCAD for the remainder of her study. I think that was a very, very interesting part for the listeners wanting to understand and learn more about collegiate racing. I think that was super interesting.
Yeah. And she had a great story about how she found her pro team that she's riding for, KS, Kenda Women. She has interesting story of the business that's involved with racing for a professional team like that.
The business side, the social media, that was absolutely interesting. I hope that everybody enjoys the podcast, and please subscribe to the channel, obviously. Leave a review when you can, and enjoy the podcast. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Great to have you on. And you're local to Westchester, right?
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Grew up in Westchester.
And you know Jeff, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know her parents. I'm really good friends with her dad, Marty, and Sue, of course, right? But you're relatively new to cycling, aren't you, Allie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were a competitive soccer player, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you just kind of go through the background of like how that started and then how you transitioned to cycling?
Yeah. Pretty athletic upbringing. My parents are definitely cyclists, but they never forced biking on us. So that was really cool. They always made sure we had bikes around just to like ride through the neighborhood and hang out with neighbors. But it was primarily soccer. I did gymnastics, you know, sisters lacrosse camps and stuff like that. But yeah, my sister and I pretty much rejected cycling, actually. It was like
I think there was some frustration from your parents. Like, why? Why don't they do it?
Yeah, they always said, you know, if you want to try cycling, like, we think you'd be really good.
Hint, hint.
That's exactly what I'm saying to my daughters. And I said, you would be so talented. I can just see it in you. But for now, they are still like they're 12 and 16 year old. So there's still some hope. If I didn't listen to you, that's great.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to start young. If they want to start young, that's cool. But my sister and I would like have friends over and my parents would be in the kitchen with like spandex and like looking like aliens with their helmets. And I just thought it was like so uncool. but when it was like my senior year of high school, I had stopped my high school soccer team had ended because it was in the fall. And I was thinking, you know, I should probably start exercising. So I did some like core and stuff at home, but decided to start running, and then figured, well, I should probably run with people, but I don't know about that. I'm kind of an introverted person. So my parents have a bunch of biking friends. Maybe I'll just do that. They're always asking me to go on rides and stuff. So, yeah, I started out mountain biking a little bit, just at Harmony Hill, going towards Downingtown, but, like that, I thought half hour rides were super long and it was just super draining, really hard. But, you know, I just kept at it. It was nice to get out in the woods. I would even go alone sometimes. And eventually came time for graduation, and my parents got me a road bike as a graduation present. And okay. So I could immerse myself in the Westchester Cycling Club and learn the ins and outs of group riding, which was super cool. And they had, you know, like C rides, B rides, A rides, and like A plus rides and stuff. So I kind of had something to look forward to and work my way through. And that was just a really cool system to join before heading off to college and really, really getting into it there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming out of soccer, did you feel that you had a, let's say, good base and for cycling, being that active, and you played 2 45-minute halves, I guess, when you stopped playing soccer? But was that a good enough base for you to get into cycling, to get into mountain biking?
I think it was a pretty good base at that time. I wasn't actually heavy into soccer. I had kind of a early injury in sport at my eighth grade year. So I stepped away from super competitive soccer, traveling every weekend and week, and stepped away from gymnastics and stuff like that, and didn't really do too high level of sport. So I may have lost some fitness, but maybe that's just my perspective. And I think compared to other sports like running or rowing, maybe it wasn't as advantageous for, you know, transferring fitness into cycling. But yeah, I was super lucky to just have some still in there.
Yeah, that's interesting that you have the gymnastics background, because when we interviewed Mandy Marquardt, right, she had said gymnasts tend to be really good cyclists. That's what they see on the track, people coming from gymnastics into that. So I'm sure that probably helped with the balance and everything, right?
Yeah. I think gymnastics is awesome. I personally loved it. And I think a lot of former gymnasts say, like, there's something about it that just is so freeing. And it also gives you a great work ethic. You know, you're doing a lot of reps of the same thing, and a great mental attitude about falling, and you know, you only get better by falling and stuff like that. So it was just, but, and you can also be creative. There's just a lot to it that I think was really formative for me, and that's cool. Like a lot of other cyclists, that's super cool.
Yeah, there's some parallels to that too. When you follow a good mountain biker through the woods and you see the lines, like, it becomes like kind of an art form, right? You can just see like what they're able to do on that terrain, and you have a sense of accomplishment. Like, wow, I got through that whole rock garden just flying, you know, I hit all those lines perfectly.
Totally. They introduce new lines to you, and you're like, I had no idea I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. I even see that, and then it opens up like, oh, now I can see other lines, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's cool. So when you went to college, you were on a collegiate team, I assume?
Yeah. I went to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute for my undergrad, and joined a club team. There's kind of a small group in that club team, but we were, you know, just going to all the races, 5-hour drives every weekend. And it was such a great environment for understanding cycling and like knowing that you can get to a race and all you need is your bike and your helmet, and that's an accomplishment, even just getting there. and you're with your friends, sometimes lost in the woods and or sleeping in public parks, you know, if you can't find a way to do it, which is not recommended, but yeah, crazy but fun times in collegiate cycling with the club, with the club team, and then also later going to SCAD for their varsity program, which was so cool, working with a team and things like that on the road, because, you know, doing mountain cross and road just really helps help me immerse in cycling.
Right. Yeah. And for my understanding, and I'm new to that. Like I said, my oldest daughter is 16, so she's working towards college. And you said collegiate riding and a club team. So is the club outside of college, just a local club, or is the club inside of, let's say, college?
Ah, that's a good point. Yeah, there are clubs outside of the college that I could have ridden for. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't do that for undergrad, at least. But when I did ride for the club team, it was within the school.
Okay.
Yeah, so the school had its varsity financially supported soccer team and football team and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Maybe more traditional sports. And then there was a bunch of sports that they also said, we can help you get jerseys with our names on it.
Exactly. Okay.
If you like, and you can mm-hmm. all form teams and compete against other colleges on the weekends. But it's not so much as you sign with them. It's basically you just go if you want to, you're not obligated to stay.
It's a little bit more informal. It's not,
totally,
not
totally.
Yeah, exactly. It's not part of the sports program of the college.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was really cool.
So when you got there, were you starting off with the C's, like with all the beginners and working your way up?
Yeah. I started, well, at that time in the ECCC, the Eastern Collegiate Cycling Conference, there were maybe like 15 women mountain biking. And I started off mountain biking because that's when the fall collegiate season, that's the season that happens when you first get there. And yeah, I was in the B's because there weren't enough women for a C or a D, even an E in the road scene. So I started off in the B's. It was pouring rain.
Nice.
Yeah, pouring rain. And we were up at Clarkson University, we could see Canada, you know, and that race went really well. I think probably because I had some mountain biking experience, like for some students, mm-hmm. Student athletes, they go to their first race and it's their first time riding a bike.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, totally. So they just borrow a bike and they're like, oh, this sounds fun, borrow a helmet, yeah. And they just jump in. So for my first race, I had already done that sort of thing, and I ended up winning, and it was really cool. Wow. I even went off course. They're like, you should race A's.
Yeah.
I was like, we'll see about that.
It sounds very dangerous. Yeah. People just picking up a bike and a helmet and trying it out, right? And then
yeah,
the cornering,
yeah.
and riding in a group is that must be nerve-wracking.
Totally. Yeah. There's a lot of crashes sometimes, you know, on the road. But there's also clinics that help reduce that. So I think, I don't know what they call it. I think they call it the E category, but a local rider will take them around, or a rider from the A field will take the pack around, point out potholes, tell them like basic road etiquette. And it's a great introduction, but also a fun introduction and not too serious. So,
right.
Yeah.
So did you start out the road season as a B as well?
Road, I started out as a C, I think.
Okay.
I think that was maybe a D category, but you could choose to enter either C or D and start out C. It was hard because I didn't really know about tactics, and I don't really remember what I did in my first road race, but probably isn't too memorable.
Yeah, you didn't win it.
No.
No, not that one.
No, but there, you do a certain number of races, you get upgrade points similar to the USAC system, and work my way up to A's.
Yeah.
Right.
So did you know at that point, like, you were hooked, like when you won that mountain bike race, were you like, oh yeah, this is where I'm going?
It's funny because, like, I had this weird feeling that when I got my first road bike, that I was like, I'm going to go all the way. I didn't even know what that meant, but I think I just wanted to make sure that I liked it. So I didn't really push myself too hard to do well. I think I just pushed myself to be there at every race and learn. And I mean, I say that I didn't push myself, but I'm pretty driven. Sorry about that. That's definitely developed over the years. And I've always wanted to, like, get the best of myself. Through cycling and through anything I do, I like to, you know, if you're going to do it well, try to do that. Although you can't do everything perfectly. So it's definitely been, you know, a learning experience.
Yeah. Did you do any track racing?
I have not done any track racing. When I was doing my graduate studies and also competing for this cycling team, at SCAD Atlanta, a teammate said she was going to do the track season for the school. And, I don't remember what the conversation was, but I decided to, like, do the track clinic with her so she could get entry into the collegiate category. And so I borrowed a track bike at the Dick Lane Velodrome and did an authentic track stand.
Yeah, nice.
It was super cool. And track is super interesting. I guess I have legs that look like a solid track rider. So they were like, oh, you should definitely come back. But I was pretty focused on the mountain biking season at that time. So I'm open to trying it more. I just haven't done too much racing.
Yeah, I remember talking to your dad, I think when you were away at school, and he said, she's getting really serious. She really wants to try to go pro. And he was like, what is it? Do you want to do road? Do you want to do cross? Do you want to do mountain? And you were like, hands down, I want to do mountain. So what made you so sure of that?
It's strange. I think it's that I can see a clear development in mountain biking for me. I love cycling of all sorts, but I do like how dynamic you can be on the mountain bike. You know, you can either, you're always standing or sitting or moving around. That helps me as just a person, but also it helped my back because that was what I injured earlier. And I really enjoy how when you're in a rock garden, you know, it's problem solving, like every pedal stroke, and you can try again. And it's like, it's a great feedback system. Like, you make it through the rock garden or you make it halfway and you know, okay, next time I'm going to make it all the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think over the, like, if you zoom out a bit over the years, mountain biking, I saw that there are categories that I could easily upgrade to because I could depend on myself getting to the races. And I didn't know how to be part of a team and, like, work with teammates, but now it's definitely more clear that, that people develop that way as well. So I think it just worked for me.
Yeah. There's something very appealing to seeing the gains, right? And then I kept track of all my races and, like, what my finishes were. And I'd see, like, every year take 2-3 minutes off of my winning, or off of my finishing time. It's like, wow. I mean, just being more familiar with the bike and the course and the hot lines and everything, you can, like, wow, I'm really getting the hang of this, you know? Whereas on the road, it's so much up to chance, right? Like, who shows up, what the conditions are. Uh-huh. Mountain bike, you feel like it's more like, it's who did their homework well, right?
Yeah, like, I pre-rode this course like 3 times. I'm gonna time trial this whole thing.
Yeah.
I love that. That, you know, if you put in the work, like you can do it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And that's exactly what I did. You know, it took a while, but, yeah. And still, like, I'm still doing it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have people that from your team or other people that you train with? Because, and then correct me if I'm wrong, mountain biking, if you have somebody riding with you that has done it before or is much more experienced, you can kind of see the lines that they are taking and say, hey, that's interesting. That's an angle that I haven't taken yet. And apparently it's much faster than I would take it. Do you have people like that that you follow and use to your advantage?
For sure. Yeah. When I started riding, my parents were super helpful and patient. Like, God bless them. They were so nice. Because it's hard when you get stuck up on certain things. So they, I would just follow their wheels. We would go out for rides and, you know, make it fun. We would stop and have a snack. And when I got to college, we were racing pretty much every weekend. So there's always someone better than me and I could stick on their wheel as far as I could and learn their lines so that I could do them the next lap. And training with teammates from my school or meeting up with other schools. I know a lot of people, if you're close by, you can do that. And down at SCAD, it was super nice to train as like a time trial team and push ourselves that way too. And that helped me on the road bike, on the cross bike and on the mountain bike. And there's actually some really fast mountain bikers down there too. That I remember my teammate Mackenzie would take me out and say, okay, we're learning jumps today. And she would show me how to do that. And I mean, she races World Cups and stuff like that. So what a huge inspiration for me to be able to go out and train with her and like she does. So,
So how did you find your team, your current team that you're on now?
Oh, KS Kendo Women. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I had raced against them a little bit in 2019. So I was hoping to kind of make myself a parent, maybe. I definitely followed them on Instagram and just totally admired everything that they were about. They created their own team as I came to learn. But how I joined the team was I sent them a message and they happened to be super nice and they responded. You know, not everybody responds because I had tried that maybe a couple other times. I was definitely looking for a pro team. And, or actually in my position, I was looking for a team that could take me on as a development rider, even though I was 23, kind of at the end of like development. So I just sent them a Facebook message and super nice. They contacted me and said, you know, maybe they weren't accepting riders, but, we could at least talk. And, you know, it always helps to know, the women you're competing against, because it's such a tight knit community in the mountain biking scene. And, you know, half the battle is just getting to races. So if we can help each other out, you know, that would be great. So we got to talking and it worked out really well.
Right.
Yeah. We've kind of heard that through some of our interviews, like with Tim, he was on this scrappy road team back in 2000 Tokyo Joe's, and it was just because he buddied up with the owner and was just like, hey, do you think you have a spot for me? And they sent him to Philly and he went and did all these huge races, and it was just because he was just nice guy, personable, had good results, but you know, just knew the right people. So once you joined the team, did you feel like it opened up doors or allowed you to step to another level because of the opportunity?
Yeah. Definitely in my head, it was super encouraging. And, you know, immediately from the start, all the girls were so welcoming. You know, there's three other girls, Nikki, Jenna, and Emma. And they were super patient with me. And they created the team themselves. which is so cool because it's like their child, you know, they poured everything into creating this. And so we were constantly communicating, and that was super encouraging for me to not only see how they work and communicate with each other, but they would share like things that make them faster. And we were like working together, but from afar, on how to just be better athletes and better people. And so that definitely brought me on to a higher level from the get-go. And we also did a team camp, and we went out to Tucson, Arizona. That was great for fitness and also to see how it all works, you know, training wise, and how we might go into a race as a team and after a race, that sort of thing. So we've only done one race together, but I think it's definitely helped me feel more comfortable and in the pro peloton, I guess. Just race at a higher level.
Yeah. Do you feel like each teammate has like a different strength? Like one's a climber and one's good at wet or anything like that?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're all really good climbers to me.
Yeah. How about yourself? Do you have a particular strength where you're like, oh, these conditions, I know I'm going to do well
in? Okay. So I do like a good race of attrition. Like, yeah. It's pouring rain and nobody wants to be here but Allie. And, you know, the course is totally changed. Maybe it's a little bit like cyclocross, but maybe it's pouring rain. Maybe it's freezing cold. Maybe it's, you know, sad in one way. But I like that challenge. And I know that there's some sort of edge you could gain if you go into it like it's another race and I'm going to do my best. And these conditions, I ride in these all the time. So I'm just going to go out there and do my thing. And those kind of races, I think, suit me well, but I do like, you know, good technical rock garden or route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a stigma for riders from the East Coast. You know, it's the same as skiers. They say all the Olympic skiers come from the East Coast because we're used to having ice and, you know, crappy conditions, right? And so I think there's something about East Coast too. We got roots and it's slick, you know. You got the Colorado riders, they got groomed trails, right? We're used to the hard stuff.
That's super hard mountain biking. the mental aspect, what you just said, I think it's and Lance Armstrong said it, I believe when he became world champion on the road, and it was in Oslo, and it was pouring rain. And he looked at his teammate who was standing, and they were lined up and in the front. And I looked at his teammate, and the teammate was kind of complaining. And he said, "Look around." And he looked around. He said, "Half of these guys already have checked out. There's half of the peloton less worry about, right? So this is, you need to embrace it, and you need to go for it, and make use of those circumstances to your advantage." Is super. And that's actually a common thread that we often hear during the podcast, is that cyclists make good people because of the mental aspect, right? Because of going out for long training rides when it's pouring rain, falling from your bike and getting up again, and there's a lot of mental strength needed to persist in cycling.
Do you think cycling was beneficial to making you a better student in college, like just to have that discipline to sit down and do the work?
I've never thought about it like that, but yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes, because there's so many times when there's more appealing things to do. You know, your friends might be at your door because you're in a dorm, and it's a new way of life and everything's exciting, but you have stuff to do. And, you know, cycling definitely helped me say, okay, this is what matters to me, like cycling as a whole. So I need to do my work so that I can go do cycling. But it also you know, when you're sitting down to do your work, it helped me like stay at it. And if you can't figure something out, you know, you just have to keep trying sometimes and it'll work out. Or you can ask for help, you know, mentors for anything are super useful. So in that way, it was, cycling was really helpful for helping me get where I wanted to go in my schoolwork. But also, you know, cycling was, it took up a lot of time and sometimes it just wasn't possible to do everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was so interested in various clubs that over the 4 years in my undergraduate degree, I had to scale back on how many things I was doing so that, you know, I could do school and cycling to the level that I wanted to do. And, so it's beneficial looking back on it all, but it was like hard during it.
Yeah. That's funny you say the distractions. It reminds me, on our collegiate cycling team was sponsored by Shinerbach. They said it was the best sponsor because we didn't, they give us cases of beer and we wouldn't drink it until the end of the season. We'd have one party and we'd have all this leftover beer. Whereas like the rugby team was asking for kegs every weekend, you know, they're just going through it. The cyclists were like, wait till September.
Totally. The cycling community is super unique and I love it.
We're all going to bed early because we got to race the next day, right?
Yeah. Although you will find people that are like mysteries. They barely sleep. Yeah. They probably get super good grades and they drink a whole bunch and they eat like this crazy food and they still smash it. So power to them. I'm not one of them, but it's always cool to see where everybody's, what everybody's doing, what everybody's, where they're coming from.
That never changes. That you still have that when you get older. It's amazing. I can do it, but many other people can. So you talked about the college and the club, and then is it SCAT or SCAP? Was that a different college or just another team?
Yeah. So when I graduated from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, I knew I wanted to be a pro mountain biker. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't there yet. So started to see what other women were doing as they were trying and or were already pros. And I saw that a lot of them were getting their graduate degrees. And I had actually raced some women who were getting their graduate degrees when I was up in the East. Mm-hmm. So I applied for, I applied to Savannah College of Art and Design in Atlanta. And actually I was still on summer break at the time, and the coach out of the blue messaged me on Facebook and asked if I wanted to be a part of the team. I don't know if that was connected at all to my application, which I don't know. It just worked out really well. And so that was like 2 weeks before school started, I think. I just packed up and moved down there and worked out really well.
So that was a then obviously a team part of the college program. And do they then provide you with training programs or do you still run your own program? How does that work? Or how did that work at SCAD?
At SCAD, our coach, we actually were getting a new coach at the time that I came in. And formerly the school coach would help coach athletes with nutrition. She's super knowledgeable in that area and as well, she was also a former professional cyclist, I believe. So, would definitely help guide students in their training. Student athletes on the team would also help coach the others. So, some of my teammates were maybe getting their second bachelor's degree. And so they had some experience in cycling and in life in general. And they would just help out students that were new and coming in to learn the city because it was in Atlanta and also the training routes and stay safe and stuff like that. So I personally had my own coach, but when we finally did get our new coach, she assisted with a few of my teammates' trainings in full.
Okay. But you had your own coach also during that period?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
I've been working with Jane Marshall from CTS for maybe 3-4 years now.
Oh, okay.
And she's been super helpful and just such a patient and knowledgeable person.
Yeah.
Was there any advice that you got from her and that you kind of had to just do a leap of faith? Like, I don't agree with this, but we're going to try it her way and see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2019, it was my first year as a professional, and I was just, I was really excited about that. I came down with something, I think they called it Lyme disease, but it was like probable Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't official. I think it might have been Epstein-Barr or something like that. But it was really draining me physically and, you know, emotionally too. There were so many days where I straight up did not like cycling at all. I didn't even want to do it. But we set these distant goals. I think one was the Carson City Off-Road and the other was Nationals in Winter Park. And so I basically said, like, I don't like this at all right now, but I'm going to trust you. And it ended up being such a great season and such a great step towards joining KS Kenda Women. And there's been a lot of times where I've had to trust my coach. So, I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah. I just think, I feel like that's a common thread too, that you get so into your own training and you think you know best, and then to hear differing opinions can be hard sometimes. But when you do it, it's just like, there is more to learn. Exactly. And maybe I don't have all the answers, right?
Just bolt on this extra... Let's say whether it's endurance or power or technical, I don't know. There's so much to learn and so much to gain from that perspective. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know until somebody tells you. And you just have to take a leap of faith. But that's great to hear. And I think also for the listeners, and we spoke about training and especially structured training. If you think about your training program, is it very structured, and are you as an athlete following that program by the letter? So if it's a 3-hour zone 2 or 4-hour zone 2 long ride, it's raining, you still go outside and do that training? How do you kind of cope with your training and your training program?
Yeah, I'm definitely more of that structured rider. Although I've been hearing a lot lately from my experienced friends that you can do more with your cycling fitness if you just relax a little bit and, you know, take the important days as important days, and then everything else you can relax a little bit, but I haven't gotten there yet. So, so yeah, I definitely do my training to a T. And I like to make sure, like, it's sometimes it's hard for me to ride with other people, but they always challenge me in new ways and push me, so I know it's beneficial to do that, and also to get more people into the sport. So it's a bit of a balance, but I do like to be very detail oriented.
Are you very detail oriented with your bike setup too? Like, I know you've got some really good sponsors, right? I've seen some of the equipment that you ride. It's pretty top notch. I imagine that you're pretty picky about how that's all set up, right?
Yeah. I'm riding like the Pivot Mach 4 SL, and, you know, got the Fox, the KS, dropper post, and obviously Kenda tires. I'm always trying to like find the right pressure or the right tire, because, you know, sometimes we're out in the West with like dry terrain, and it feels like I'm just sliding over marbles. Yeah. So it's really great to test this equipment, and I feel so fortunate to ride this equipment and be a part of their story. And it's just it's been a really great relationship so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Piffa, that's also the team that Rich rode for a while, right?
Yep.
Yeah. The endurance downhill. Yeah. And before Rich, I didn't know the brand.
I know.
So that's for me, it was completely new. But
They're out of Arizona, right?
Oh, Pivot.
Pivot, yep. Aren't they?
They are in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make mountain bikes and also a road / cross / gravel bike. So yeah, it's definitely not a track bike or anything like that. But
more
common to the off road scene.
Right. Yeah. They kind of cut their teeth with full suspension, but they have a hard tail and they call it the less, as in pivot less, no pivots. That is kind of funny play on words.
That's funny.
They're awesome. That company, like. There's real people there, and you can tell.
Yeah, that's so cool. Great. Yeah, and going back to your training a little bit, do you do a lot of strength training, core training, those type of things?
I do. I don't do a lot, probably compared to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So the same coach that does my cycling training also prescribes my off the bike strength training. And we go in phases. So if we're just starting off for the year, maybe we'll start with body weight stuff and get my muscles warmed up to the idea of more weight and build from there to going in the gym and maybe doing like deadlifts and other sort of weight bearing activities.
Right.
And I think it's been really helpful. I've only been doing it for maybe a year or two. But I really like that aspect of it. I just like, you can also see your improvements in the gym as you can in on the bike sometimes. So.
Right. Yeah. The if you see Kate Courtney, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
She does all that great crazy core strength stuff, standing on a ball, throwing other balls around, and. I think that's always so impressive when they do that. Peter Sagan also does that. It's pretty cool, and it does contribute, I guess, to your cycling strength also. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's I always love seeing what other people are doing in the gym, and it's so inspiring. But it's hard. I can't do everything that they do.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So being a multi-discipline racer. Do you feel like once you get into the mountain bike season that you just need to predominantly ride that bike to just keep in the flow with that and keep your power, consistent on one bike instead of trying to balance it between different bikes?
Yeah. Well, this year would be the first year that I'm not doing any other disciplines. So in the past, I've just kind of done what I could. I know in the past I've done just cyclocross bikes during the cyclocross season, because if not, I will ride it like a mountain bike and crash and like burp all my tires. I know I can always ride the mountain bike though, because it's, I don't know. It's just second nature maybe by now.
Yeah.
But as a big event like a nationals comes up, I will tend to ride more of my mountain bike. And I have a power meter on there, so that, well, it's in the mail, but it just helps me get the feeling of putting out, and it helps me imagine it, you know.
Yeah.
But I do still do training on my road bike and things like that. Just to help my arms not get so fatigued and rest the whole system.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people made that switch a few years ago, especially with the kicker where you can put your mountain bike on there. And I did that and I just felt like it was another way of really honing in your skill on that bike, because you just mash power on the kicker and then you get out on the trails and you're comfortable on it, you know? And like you said, having the power meter on there, you're not missing anything. It's not like, oh, I got to ride this bike because that's the only one with the power meter. You know, I think it's a nice thing to have if you can have the power meter on every bike. So you're just always comparing apples to apples, right?
Always dialed in, yeah.
Totally. And it makes it great for travel too, because when you're away and you have a recovery day, but everybody's excited to be there, you know, it's nice to have something to double check, like, wow, I feel like we're going really hard right now. And it's because we're going really hard. You know? I mean, obviously you can feel that way and you can just know. And I'm not a data junkie at all, but I think it's a great training tool. And when it counts the most, like the day before a race, you like can use it to do better.
Yeah.
So I was actually thinking about, you also have road grid races on your mountain bike. Sometimes I do that before or in one of these event weeks, and they have an evening where they do a grid race on your mountain bike. Have you ever tried doing that?
Yes. Yeah, I did one at least last year. And what an interesting experience. I loved it personally, but everybody says it's pretty sketchy, which it is. It definitely is sketchy. Yeah. Everybody's got wide bars and flying into turns, like a downhill turn into a skinny road with barriers, and there's just so much excitement around it. But it's super fun. And I've raced some crits so I feel like I have a little bit of experience in that. And so it's just really exciting. And especially if, because it's not technical, you can hang a little bit if you draft. And it was really cool to be able to race with some world-class talents and still be safe, but know that you can be up there and you have similar power numbers. You just have to give it everything and hang on for dear life.
Yeah, it's funny to see those type of races. It looks sketchy. I've never done that, but
Yeah, I think back in the 90s, we had Fat Boy Crits where we got to Cactus Cup and you'd have a prologue, which was a time trial, and that would set your stage. And then you'd have a Fat Boy Crit that night. You put slick tires on your mountain bike and race around in a parking lot. And it was tight turns and the bottom brackets higher on those versus a road bike. Yeah, so exactly. It's like, you kind of, there's a lot of crashes.
I only did the Crescent City one last year, now that I remember, but the Cactus Cup seemed cool.
So with the COVID this year, what is your team thinking for racing this year? You know, are they talking about this? What's the plan?
Yeah. So before Nationals was canceled, we were hoping to race, and we left it up to each individual to do what they were comfortable with, because some people have to fly, some people have to drive, and so we just want to be there for each other as teammates and as friends, so that we can all come out of this healthy and maybe see an even better next year. Fingers crossed. But Nationals, now that is not a thing for this year, except for maybe Marathon Nationals, we don't know. We're just trying to organize maybe a team camp. Maybe we can all drive somewhere and ride together, and or maybe we'll, like, there's two of us on the East Coast, two of us on the West Coast, so maybe we'll do something there with just us East Coasters, but having fun doing long rides and something like that. Maybe when things resume, we'll see. But again, like, everybody's working full time, and they're also incredible volunteers and like leader cycling advocates in their community. Right. So there are other things that are pulling them in different directions, and they still have training. So, so as far as COVID goes, we're trying to show up to the races ready, but if it doesn't, yeah, we're trying to show up for our races ready.
The Mid-Atlantic Super Series is having their first race this Saturday, and they're using a time trial format. So your group, if you have 10 people in it, then you have 2 minutes for each of you to cross the line. So you can stagger at 30 seconds or whatever to keep everyone spaced out. And I heard some people say, I don't want to do a time trial on a mountain bike. You know, they're used to having the pack and seeing someone to, like a rabbit to chase. How do you feel about that? Would that be something you'd be interested in?
Well, I first heard of that time trial format for nationals, actually. Yeah. And I saw the email and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is going to be really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And I was really intimidated, but I talked it over with my dad and he was like, you know what? You don't have to start at the back and everybody's given the same shot. And, you know, if you prep the course, you do the homework and stuff like that, you might even have a carrot out in front of you, you know, like the mm-hmm. other rider. And if you can see them, great. If you can't, do your thing. And I found that conversation super helpful.
Yeah.
And I was really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to more races that use that format. So I also just like time trials. So I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Right. I've felt the same way.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like let's this. Go. Yeah, exactly. The team that I'm part of, so they raced on the road crit last weekend, and they were in Cat 3-4, but everybody went full gas. The field was shattered. It's the people were like armed to the teeth, just going into that crit. So the field was shattered within no time. So it was usually, you know, right? You have kind of it was almost like a swift race, right?
Wow.
But I didn't take anybody out, so it was a mess. But that's everybody was really looking forward to race. I guess that's the short story of it. So they were really, really eager. So.
Yeah, I think it's funny that they said during the when they first issued the shelter in place, they said people are either going to come out of this really fit or really fat, like really
there
out
were
of shape.
Big differences.
And
yeah,
I mean, you look at our cycling community; everyone is just knuckled down, put their head down. They're doing the solo rides. You look at Strava; people are like 100-mile ride, right? 200-mile ride. Mm-hmm. Our friend Stuart set the new record from Philly to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
In
380 miles.
Rode straight through the night. Yeah. Did it in what, 24 hours? Something? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And it's, well, I mean, 11,000 feet climbing, something like that. Yeah.
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 Whoa.
Yeah.
Congratulations, if you're listening.
Yeah. Yeah. The Everesting, you know, all these pros are doing the Everesting challenge and people are, I think the 2021 season is going to be insane because everyone's going to be so fit. I mean,
yeah.
I went back to doing base miles and I felt great, but everyone just leveled up, it seems like, over this, which is exciting, you know, like taking lemons and making lemonade out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a great point, Jeff, because it's, again, that mental aspect and that does kind of separate the man from the boys type of principle is, are you able to cope with that and set your goals and do those base miles and make sure that you are ready for your race season. I think there are also examples of people that didn't make that and decided, okay, 2020 out the door, forget right. about it, I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
It is very, very interesting. Yeah. Do you do something like online training or racing on Swift or Trainer Road, any of those platforms?
I do not do them regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple months ago, is it now, our clothing sponsor, Belay, hosted for a month, I think it was maybe April, each Tuesday night, they hosted a Tuesday night race. Maybe it was a ride, but come on. It was definitely a race. they hosted races every Tuesday night for a month, and they had a bunch of other teams that they sponsor join in, like Team TIBCO Silicon Valley Bank,
mm-hmm.
for a road
They're
team.
They're amazing.
Like,
on,
wow,
on Swift.
This is super
yeah.
cool. As well as Volley Factory Racing, which is a gravel team. I think a couple of my teammates from KS Kendo Women and I, we joined those and had a great time. I had no idea that Zwift was so engaging and challenging. it was just such a great experience. So I would definitely be open to doing more. But with the restrictions in Pennsylvania, they weren't actually too bad. So I was still able to train outside.
Yeah.
And I decided to just take advantage of that as much as I could until, maybe I couldn't one day. So
yeah,
I haven't been doing too much Zwift or anything like that, but I did have the opportunity.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, if you have any Zwift questions, Jerry is the person to answer them. He's a pro.
I'm the Zwift master.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was actually interesting. They had the virtual Tour de France this weekend. You could watch it live on TV, and they actually built a couple of stages in France as a new virtual world. So I think that's oncoming weekend. So that was very interesting. But just the numbers are so very, very interesting. Both the men and the women, just, I don't know, that's why they are pro riders, right? Probably like yourself, is the wattage that they put out, it's incredible. It's really humbling. It's they did a climb which was about 20-25 minutes, and that will take me 35 minutes, but they did it at a 6.5 watts per kilogram average.
Wow.
They weren't going below 450 watts.
Wow.
Like, It's really, really impressive. But the women equally, very, very impressive. They were around 5.3 watts for that climb. So just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been following the recaps of the tour.
Oh yeah.
I've yet to sit down and fully watch. So.
Yeah. Super cool.
So if there's a young, college student that's watching or listening to this and she's like, I want to try cycling too. What advice would you give them?
I'd say go for it. Cycling is fun, and you never know what it can give, to your life. It just opens so many doors. So yeah, I would say go for it and just have fun, get to know the bike, get to know yourself and get to know friends, and it'll be great. I think all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that with people that just get into cycling and they're asking for advice. Everyone's like, just go ride, just go have fun.
Yeah.
You want to ride fast? Ride fast. You want to ride slow? Ride slow. Just ride all the time.
Yeah.
Figure it out your second year, right? Try all the different races.
I always thought that you have to like really know everything and kind of just to start something new, but really just if you have a bike, just do it.
Yeah.
And you will figure it out. People are more than happy to help you. I mean, the number of people that I have been fortunate to know who've been so helpful, like they will definitely see you through. Yeah.
Right. And I've known so many people that were like, oh, I'm going to be a triathlete. And then they end up being a mountain biker or, road rider tries mountain bike. And it's like, oh, this is what I'm doing. So yeah, I mean, just go out and have fun, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah, and the area that we live in, Westchester, Chester County, towards Lancaster, it's such a beautiful area. You have a little bit of everything, right? And a little bit of everything can make a lot, right? Because you have these small hills, you can have flat courses with great mountain biking, you can go to towards the Appalachian Mountains. There's just so much to find. You can even ride really, really flat if you go to Jersey towards the shore, right? Super flat. Reminds me of the Netherlands.
really?
But it's in the Netherlands is very flat. There's no hills. We have the Dutch hills, so that's wind. It's always windy, so you're always fighting the wind. So, me personally, I love it here. From a cycling perspective, yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've traveled a little bit around the United States, and something special about this area. It's beautiful and never gets too cold, never gets too hot. It's really nice.
Besides getting back when hopefully COVID passes by, what are your goals? Now you're a pro. What is the next step?
Yeah, COVID has definitely helped me to think about this more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the start of the year, it was definitely to immerse myself in the pro scene, meet people at every race, get to know how it works and how to work with my teammates, learn the business of cycling, which is, you know, definitely there's cycling and then there's the business of cycling. They're separate, but as an athlete, you have to dabble in both. And so that's been a huge learning experience. And so those were the big goals for me, not only to learn those things, but improve my fitness. Right. And I think the big race was probably nationals, but we can maybe see about another nationals or with marathon or other races that are possibly still being held in the fall. Mm. And also focus on 2021, building a good solid base there. I have always been racing cyclocross and road and all these other things, and I would really be interested to see what I could do with like a dedication towards, you know, a solid base and right. solid progression. Mm-hmm. And of course, if something else happens in the world where we need to pause, we'll address it.
Exactly.
We'll but later. Day by day, mm-hmm. you know, things are working out and I'm still motivated to try my hardest.
You mentioned the business side of cycling, understanding the business. Does that have to do with your sponsors, your equipment, your, I don't know, is it contracts? If you would describe the business side of also your learning experience, how would you describe that?
Yeah, I've been learning a lot about relationships with sponsors and social media and working with my teammates. We have a point of contact with our sponsors, which is mm-hmm. always super interesting. So we can work together as a team, but then cohesively talk to our sponsors, and just a super experience.
Right. And you tell me if it's differently, but I absolutely see that as a trend. With social media, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on all the other channels, you do see, especially the younger athletes, pro athletes, embracing social media. And I feel and I sense that the teams and the team owners and the sponsors, it's much more, instead of, let's say, a gimmick that they were doing on the side, it's much more going to be something mandatory, that there is an expectation that you are on social media as an athlete, as a rider, to basically show. And maybe it's now because of COVID, I don't know, but I do see an increase on social media with all these cycling athletes. Is that something that you also see or agree with or experience yourself?
Yeah, we definitely try to keep up with our social media and media in general. We have a newsletter, and media opportunities like this are great because they shed light on our sponsors who help us do our job, you know, our task mm-hmm. at hand, riding and racing bikes. And without that coverage, it's hard for athletes to not only train, but get to the races. And if they're making a living, then it's hard to make, you know, so coverage on social media and in all respects has been super beneficial for our sponsors. And in this time, it's challenging. And, you know, I know a lot of people are staying off from social media, or maybe they're glued to it more and they can't get off of Instagram per se, but we just try to represent our daily life and what we're doing. And, you know, every day we wake up and we zip up our the lake hits and we head out there, and So trying to be compassionate and understanding and learning about the world around us, but at the end of the day, still doing our part in maintaining our relationships. I know a lot of our sponsors have been navigating. It's been challenging to navigate this time. And so we try to create new new videos or new content in respect to that. And, you know, it's so easy to talk about a lot of our sponsors because they truly are amazing. Like, mm-hmm. Like we are in the process of making a little snippet, a small video for Orange Seal, and like Orange Seal really works. So <Yeah. laughs> it's been not only great to go on these long adventure rides and like record a little snippet, but it's like, it's not just for media. It's what's really happening. Yeah. And same with testing out our tires. And, you know, if Olay has a new collection that they're launching, I saw they have new shorts with pockets, for all this long training that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like I have no problem promoting that and being on their side because, and same with goo, like hydration and nutrition. Like this is what's getting me through COVID every day. So if I can share that with other people, I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I think what's been unexpected about COVID is all the bike industry has been doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. I went to a local bike shop today to get some supplies, and they had three new bikes in the shop. Everything else was repairs. It was three road bikes that they couldn't sell. Like one was like a 62, one was like a 48, you know, it's just no one was buying those. But it's crazy how many people have said, well, we're not going on the family vacation. Exactly. We're not doing the Disney cruise. So let's get bikes for the kids and we'll do bike rides this summer. So it really is a good opportunity. And I mean, I think what you're doing for your sponsors is great. And it's just getting their word out. Yeah. People are looking for these, you know, new sports, things they can do that are safe with their family. And you're representing it. So I think that's great.
Thanks. Yeah. Bike shops are swamped, but
yeah.
I also like recently found our local Pivot dealer, which is so fun.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And I saw like an Amish woman working behind the counter doing repairs. That's so cool. Like she rocks. I was out at Shirk's. Oh gosh, I don't even know the town, but yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you, and we hope at some point you will come back and talk a little bit more, and hopefully you're in the just preparing for the race season or doing some races or having done the race season. But it was an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much, Jerry and Jeff. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for joining.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Thank you.